future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. We have had a phenomenal day here at SVK Crypto. But to kick things off, I think we should go for the levels real quick, see what's going on in the market, and we'll take it from there. So Bitcoin's currently trading at $6,574, up 1% in the last 24 hours. Ethereum currently trading at $222. That's up 0.5%. We have Bitcoin Cash currently trading at $516. That hasn't really changed in the last 24 hours percentage-wise. EOS currently trading at $5.72, up 3% in the last 24 hours, which is always great to see. And I want to give a big shout out to Aurora, which is currently trading at 2.5 cents, and that's up 36.5% in the last 24 hours. It's interesting. Obviously, Aurora has outperformed the market. And what I have to compare to this is I remember a year ago, last kind of early October, late September, early October, you look at CoinMarketCap on a daily basis, which we still do, and you would look at the top 10 coins, and you would see some rise by nearly 800% on a daily basis. I mean, the altcoin was literally like an explosion. One would just detonate on a daily basis. And I think it's really interesting because you're not quite seeing the same explosive explosion in regards to volume or price action, but it's interesting. We're starting to see a few different altcoins pick up day by day by around 35-40%. And it's interesting because you wonder where that really comes from. Where's that momentum come from? Is the project really something good? Sadly, we don't have enough time to actually analyze all the projects that are going up in value, but it's definitely something worth noting because it's small changes in the market. It's small things that are going to pick this back up. I really don't believe there's going to be one news story or one thing that's going to happen that's going to take us back up to $800 billion or past the $1 trillion level. I believe it's going to be small incremental changes that all together are going to take us back up to those levels that we like to see. The big levels, man, the big numbers. Let's bring them on. So with that in mind, let's get down to business. Let's find out what's going on in the market, what people are thinking, what people are doing, and let's find out and let's get the inside scoop. Let's go. All right, so one of the big stories today that has been making the rounds, has been getting attention, has been being talked about everywhere you go is nothing is decentralized. Crypto Springs confronts tech's shortcomings. So when Crypto Spring Conference co-organizer Melton Demores took the stage on Wednesday, Watermelon Margarita in hand, her nothing is decentralized rally cry drew thunderous applause. That may seem counterintuitive for a poolside gathering of cryptocurrency industry veterans in Palm Springs, California, but the tone distinguishing this event from the plethora of blockchain conferences was an acute focus on shortcomings and open-ended questions. Decentralization is not a myth. So Melton is the founder of Athena Capital and chief strategy officer at asset manager CoinShares, told the audience it just hasn't been implemented properly yet. She was hardly the only one to expose this view in his presentation. Dogecoin creator Jackson Palmer even went as far as to say, "Lum blast the Bitcoin core team for the centralized way in which they fixed the recently discovered bug in Bitcoin's code, which involved coordinating with Bitcoin miners behind closed doors." Palmer said there is a complete lack of transparency about who manages the Bitcoin core code base, and that he believes the whole Bitcoin ecosystem suffers from a lack of diversity regarding both programming languages and implementations. "A lot of people in the space are afraid to reflect on Bitcoin," Palmer told media sources, questioning why retail adoption is still a rarity. "If Bitcoin was a startup, it would be dead. It hasn't reached product market fit." Addressing one of these criticisms, Bitcoin Core developer Matt Corallo told media sources that diversifying Bitcoin might require a great deal of extra work to maintain consistency across the complex network. At best, the lead to network forks that reduce Bitcoin's usability at worst. "If you have a multiple of implementations that run, then nodes have to run both," Carlo said. "With multiple languages, you're going to have different behaviors. You don't want to rewrite too many things because that's how you end up with a lot of bugs." One point of broad consensus at the event, though, was the Godfather of cryptocurrency requires more peer review. There needs to be more peer review. And this was something talked about in the conference a lot. Conowo basically went on to say there needs to be more talent working on Bitcoin full time. Conowo also agreed adding the shortage of code reviewers isn't caused by a lack of funding opportunities. In Calaro's mind, the problem is a lack of skilled engineers willing to devote their time to the space. Referring to the power to merge changes into the Bitcoin code, he said people who can press the big red button are much less interesting because they push the big red button when there has been sufficient review. And regarding the recent bug, Calaro said Bitcoin Core's mentality is to place more responsibility on reviewers than solely on the shoulders of the few full-time contributors. When the community lacks an abundance of skilled reviewers, the open source process is inherently hindered. So Satoshi Labs co-founder Alina Varahani, who recently left the helm of the crypto wallet maker Trezor to found the non-profit B Foundation, told media sources her next goal is to create online courses and grants to increase the number of engineers contributing to Bitcoin. More implementations doesn't necessarily fix the issue of bugs. If you have forks, they can just inherit the bugs, Varahani said. You can either create specific bug bounties for different implementations, or you can make sure there are plenty of developers who understand the code enough to do peer review. So throughout the conference first day, people expressed different opinions on how cryptocurrency could change the world. Carallo's presentation on Thursday will focus on the decentralization and mining, especially Bitcoin's underlying principles of censorship and resistance, which the developer told media sources he is still unsure could scale to a $1 trillion market. Crypto Springs co-organizer Elizabeth Stark, CEO of Lightning Labs, a startup that focuses on the scaling solution called the Lightning Network, said corporate incumbents are the biggest threat to the crypto ecosystem. But Lightning developer Jack Mullis, maker of the crypto wallet Zap, took a more enterprise-friendly approach. This market is really volatile. It's really immature, Mullis told media sources. Going on to say Lightning-enabled institutional trading could improve price discovery and overall liquidity. Financial products like a Bitcoin exchange-traded fund are much more achievable in the next year than mainstream retail adoption, he added. Further, Mullis suggested that the nascent market for futures contracts could help the crypto industry transfer financial risk to professional speculators, much like farmers do of the commodity traders, helping smaller players survive. I think that Bitcoin futures are going to help decentralization and mining, he said. And one of the things he said, reflecting on the critical mass, Bitcoin is on the verge of reaching almost 10 years after the original white paper was first published. Mullis concluded, either Bitcoin will work and become a $1 trillion asset, or it won't and it will go to zero. We're reaching that point where it will be very binary. And by the way, I agree with that massively. This is either going to work and this is going to be a $1 trillion market, or this is going to zero. And it's not going to be in between, because this isn't going to half-assedly work. This is either going to really work and be embedded into everyday lives, as I believe it will, or it's not. It's just like that. But I think the community is strong. I think a lot of people want to focus on the negatives rather than the positives. You know, let's focus on price action in the last year. Like, it's roughly the same. But guess what? The tech has improved massively. If you look last year of where we were, the UXs on certain websites, certain designs, certain wallets, it was absolute dog poo. If you're looking at it now, it's a lot nicer. The user experience is a lot more friendly. And that's what helps with adoption, just making it easy for people to understand and to be part of. All right. So, second up, man, let's just get into it. So U.S. customs official claims crypto conversions can be traced. A vulnerability is created every time criminals convert from cryptocurrency to government-issued ones. An official with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement said today. So Matthew Allen, Assistant Director of Domestic Operations with the Homeland Security Investigation, the HSI, Division of ICE, discovered the role of cryptocurrencies in drug trafficking during an October 3rd hearing before the U.S. Senate caucus on international narcotics control. On darknet marketplaces and other unindexed websites, purchases are often paid with cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin and Monero, among others, he said in a prepared statement. So perhaps most noticeably, he noted that the HSI is having some level of success in tracking criminals who use cryptocurrency to launder proceeds from drug sales. While cryptocurrencies make transferring value relatively easy, he contended criminals still need to convert cryptocurrencies into fiat and vice versa. During the process, whenever monetary exchanges are made, a vulnerability is created. He went on to say, "This is the time when criminals are most susceptible to identification by law enforcement's means and methods." Allen stated, explaining utilization traditional investigation methods such as surveillance, undercover operations, and confidential informants, coupled with financial and blockchain analysis, ICE, or HSI, is able to disrupt the criminals and dismantle the transnational criminal organizations, as well as cryptocurrency exchanges, who typically launder proceeds for criminal networks engaged in or supporting dark net marketplaces. And I think he has a point here. So Allen went on to discuss multiple types of cryptocurrency exchanges and how they may be used to facilitate money laundering, peer-to-peer exchanges in particular, referring to startups which reuse to register as a money services business and do not follow compliance laws, are often used to ensure users remain anonymous. Despite that, however, national and international agencies are training investigators in how to best track cryptocurrencies. "We train investigators in an effort to deter organizations from laundering proceeds or using cryptocurrencies to fund the purchase of fentanyl, opiates, or other narcotics," he went on to say. That's crazy, man. There's a lot of stuff happening on the dark web that I think really is it's tiny, the amount. If you look at the trade of crypto and you look at the amount that's actually being spent on the dark net, on the dark web, it's really, it's not a lot. It's a couple of percent, I would argue, probably a little bit less than that. But that gets the most media and that gets the most attention because that's what people are looking for. They're looking for the negative with this technology. And it's interesting as well, when you go to different people in the space who are maybe new, or, you know, maybe they've come from a family office or an institutional background, and, you know, what they will say is really relevant to what Jamie Dimon first said. He's like, Bitcoin bad, blockchain good. And it's seriously, it's everywhere. When you go and meet all these people, and that's their rhetoric. That's what they say. You know, Bitcoin bad, blockchain good. How can you have one without the other? And I think it's really concerning how a lot of these projects aren't explaining. I don't think there's enough education being done. And I think that a lot of education needs to be done to the family offices, to the institutions, to really bring people up to speed with how interesting and how engaging this technology will be and how exciting this movement really is. Because I think people just need to be educated, and that really comes down to it. Listen, guys, I've got to wrap things up. Thank you for your time and attention. And as always, remember to join us on our Telegram, SVK Crowd. We thank you for everything you're doing and part of our community. Feel free to email myself if you have any questions or projects you would like to bring to our attention. My email is cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I gotta bounce.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.